We're continuing to look at heavenly realms. This is the last session of this module. A major aspect of the heavenly realms is the governmental perspective, that what goes on there in the kingdom of God. There are different levels of governmental authority relating to different realms. Our mountains, our thrones, our positions of government, and they carry authority and they operate in different realms within heaven itself. Zechariah 3:7, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my service, you will also govern my house, also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. So there's a process and a demonstration that there are lots of different functions and places to function in the realms of heaven. And we see that heaven itself is patterned after the tabernacle, and there are various courts that function in the different realms of heaven, and we've gone through that. And as we see, we walk in his ways in the kingdom of the earth. And as we become friends of God, more intimate, he begins to unveil and reveal lordship, where we function in the kingdom of God, in the realms of heaven, beginning to learn how to govern or rule the house, and then engaging in kingship, having charge of the courts, and then from there, having engaging higher courts in sonship, kingship, and ultimately in the heaven of heavens to access the highest levels of courts that I've discovered so far. And then we can see this diagram, there are lots of different dimensions that we try and figure out how they interact and connect. But one of the things I want to look at today is the atmosphere of the earth. So between the kingdom of the earth and the kingdom of God, there's the atmosphere of the earth, a spiritual atmosphere that we need to see. How does that affect what we do on the earth, and how does it affect what we do in the realm of the kingdom of God? Now, many years ago, I experienced a encounter where I was taken out into the solar system to see the world. The whole globe stopped spinning, and it was a globe, by the way. It stopped spinning, and I saw arcs of blue light connecting all over the globe. And then it started spinning in the other direction. Now, this was 2015. And 2015, in August the 8th, the 8th of the 8th of the 8th, was the time when the new generation, the Joshua generation, were called to come. The previous generation had ended from 2015 to 1975, when the prophecy for the billionfold harvest was given. Now a new generation was being called to fulfill that. And I released blue lights from my position in the thrones of heaven out into the atmosphere to help connect people to their call to government in the earth and in heaven to affect the earth. And as I was engaging with God last year, and I particularly did the conferences and intensive Sons Arise, God said this to me. In relation to this, Sons Arise is the cry from the Father's heart to unveil, reveal, and release his children into their full glorious identity and inheritance as mature sons of God, the Elohim, the godlike ones. And God has given us a position. We are called to come into that position as sons of God within his kingdom to effectively bring his kingdom out of heaven into the earth by establishing in heaven first. So what about the spiritual atmosphere around the earth? What goes on there? Who can access and operate there? What is our role as sons in relation to the atmosphere? Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have seen that we have a place and a function within the as it is in heaven, so that God's will, God's kingdom can come into the earth through us as a gateway. And as long as our first love gate is open and our spiritual gates are open and flowing, then heaven can manifest through us, the kingdom can manifest through us, rivers of living water can manifest through us individually into the spheres of authority that we carry on earth. But that is not the end of the issue, it's the beginning, because there are also everlasting doors that function between the kingdom of God in the heavenlies and the earth, and between that is the atmosphere. Now, the atmosphere cannot affect what's flowing through us individually other than by influencing us to block or have our gateways blocked or to restrict our understanding of who we are. But the everlasting doors need administrating, and that's where the atmosphere issue comes in. So how does the government in heaven function? Is it by judicial authority or by warfare? Because so much of trying to deal with the atmosphere has been called spiritual warfare. And there is so much spiritual warfare going on in the 90s and the 2000s with people talking about spiritual mapping and the transformation videos which were out at the time, which referred to various strategies that were outworked by people to see heaven manifest on earth. But the reality is most of that was seen as warfare, and it was functioning from below, and therefore was not actually successful in dealing with the atmosphere. So we need to understand the judicial authority that we need to function in, not just trying to fight with the enemy. I'm not going to fight with the enemy. There are others who can stand on our behalf and deal with the enemy, but we have to know our judicial authority to remove the legal rights that the enemy has, and then the enemy can be dealt with, and therefore the atmosphere can be dealt with. Now, God spoke to me about the season we're in, and the government of heaven, and how the government of heaven operates seasonally, and that those seasons need to change. So God said this: Son, the times and the seasons are shifting, and the wheels within wheels within wheels are being aligned to open the High Chancellor's houses for grace to come out of justice. Heaven functions on four seasons, and then rest: judgment, justice, grace, mercy. And I believe overall we're in a thing since 2015 in terms of judgment was made, the end of the old order, and justice was the establishing of the new order, removing the authority of the Moses generation, the mantle of the Joshua generation being raised up. So if we're in justice, then grace is the next season, and it's time for us to start administrating for grace, the divine enabling power of God to be released. An increase in governmental authority will be the result when the sons of God arise to be seated enthroned and are ready to bring an agreement as gateways of heaven into this earth. New earthly foundations must be laid and the atmosphere must be cleared so that the everlasting doors can be opened and the glory of the children of God can be displayed through sonship on earth as it is in heaven. And remember, we have thrones in the realms of the kingdom of God. The everlasting doors are to be governed from those thrones, but there may be spiritual opposition blocking, hindering, usurping the authority. Therefore, it might be a battleground. But there are the court of war strategy, the court of angels, and the mobile court that we have access in that realm to begin to deal with the things which are hindering and blocking us in that realm, which then also are outworked through the atmosphere of the earth. The issue, the call, re-energize the blue light call for the sons of God to arise and take their places of responsibility within the tree of life. So issue a call. This is what God was saying. Re-energize that call for arcs of agreement for government to be established. So I did. And this is my response to that. I call for the light to shine to penetrate the veils of darkness and deception over those under the coverings of men. I call for the angelic messengers to go forth with the call to cross over beyond the veil into inheritance and birthright. I call for those whose hearts are beginning to ask the question, there must be more than this. I'm calling for the Joshua generation to arise. I call for those who are hungry and thirsty for more to begin to connect with others on the journey through word of mouth, sound frequencies, heart-to-heart connections, and media. I call for the connections with our blog, YouTube channel, the Engaging God program, the book, to be facilitated and the challenge to be made to hearers to rise up and take their places within the Joshua generation. I call for all media to be hidden from the view of those objectors. You know, I don't want to cause controversy. I don't want our media to end up being a distraction. I want those who need to hear it to hear it, and I want that message to touch them that will call them to rise up and take their places within the Joshua generation. I call for the frequency of sonship to call the children of God to arise and resonate with their destiny scroll, to tune in to destiny's call and hear the cry of God's heart. I call for true love to release the true identity of sons and for true heavenly positions be unveiled and revealed. I call for the scandal, and this is a key, that has twisted the character and nature of God to be revealed so that love can penetrate the religious systems, both Catholic and Protestant. I call for love bombs. I call for love to be poured out and love bombs to be exploded to expose the lies that have twisted the reality of God's true essence and man's full inclusion. I call for heaven's light to shine, to burn brightly, to attract sons like moth to a flame. I call for the revolution of the circle of the deep to begin the new season. The precepts, statutes, and laws align to open the ordinances, to align ordinances, mantles, and weapons, to open scrolls and to align scrolls, discoveries, and commissioning, to open the affairs of the nations, culture, and the treasury house, so the precepts and the precepts bring the beginning and the end together in unity and harmony. Now, we covered that in the teaching on the circle of the deep. I call for the 70, this is the Council of the 70, to release grace, grace upon grace and greater grace into the earth to facilitate the times and seasons for the Joshua generation and the arising of the sons of God. I call for the Father's heart and mind to cause the voice of Almighty God to resonate in the heavens and the earth. I call for the voice of El Shaddai, El Gibor, El Eon, El Emet, El Olam, El Hakavod, El Hashemin, El Kanun, El Rashun, El Hanora to sound the heralding call into the wilderness of man to arise, cross over the Red Sea and the Jordan to come into the promised land of sonship, for sons to come out of the slavery and bondage to the religious systems of men, come into the freedom of the glory of their sonship. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runs into it and is safe." So within the four faces of God, the name of God, we are the Yod Hey Vav Hey. We are in the name and carry the power of attorney to be identified with that name, to govern, administrate in that name, to rule and legislate in that name. So all of the outworking of this legislation and government needs to be done with according to the heart of God and love and in his name that carries that position, and we are within him, Yod, Hey, Shin, Vav, Hey, taking our place within the four faces of God. We really need a personal relationship with God, and so to experience all that his name unveils. And we looked at his name in the last session, and how we can engage him in eternity, engage him in the Yesod of God, engage him to fully begin to function within that name, and to know his character, his nature, what that name unveils and reveals, so we can function in that revelation of that name. We are to rule his house, take charge of his courts, and stand in the assemblies and councils of God. Perichoresis is a Greek word that describes the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the foundation of our relationship with God as sons. It is the key to the governmental aspects of sonship. Therefore, we need to experience that and be in that amazing circle of the dance. Jesus fully expresses the Father and is hence the very character and nature of God displays. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. I only want to do what I see the Father doing. Living in the circle of the dance, the heart of God enables us to rule in love and outwork God's heart, God's desires, God's mind, his purposes in heaven and then onto the earth and into the earth. All God's names, his precepts, statutes, laws, his very essence, character and nature are discovered within that perichoresis relationship. From the revelation of God's heart revealed, we can administer and administrate to deal with blockages and opposition. The enemy just doesn't lie down. Although the enemy has been defeated by the victory of the cross, we need to outwork that victory and put the enemy under our feet. Therefore, we must administrate above the enemy to be able to do that. And that's very, very important when we're looking to deal with spiritual dimensions, particularly the atmosphere. As we begin to function in our identity as sons, from our position in the heavenly realms, we will have the authority to deal with opposition, both spiritual and physical. Prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare, harp and bowl, all sort of terms that I was aware of relating to getting heaven to change earth. But none of that was the going to heaven and administrating in heaven to change the earth and being the change that flows through us. When we operate from above, we move from operating in spiritual warfare to administrating or administering kingdom authority in judgment and justice. The authority of the court is the bench, is a bench, the position which is above. And you'll find that a bench in a court is always higher than the rest of the courtroom, deliberately so, to emphasize the authority of that bench within the court. We must learn to function from the advantage of higher ground. Position of advantage that gives us a higher dimension of authority. That's the higher ground, being above and not below. If we're under the influence of the atmosphere, we do not operate in authority. So if we're going to deal with the atmosphere, yes, we must be above it, but also we must not be influenced by it. And we must establish places, beachheads of heaven, embassies of heaven, that are not influenced by the atmosphere that they are operating in, because they have an open heaven and they're going to expand that open heaven. Personally, we need to learn to live from heaven by being in dual realms, being under an open heaven. That's how we should be living, functioning from heaven, manifesting that into earth individually. But also corporately, we need to take responsibility for areas, regions, and spheres that God's given us. We need to be seated in the heavenly places to access and administrate the spiritual blessings, empowerments, as a gateway of those blessings into the earth through us. We are conduits for the river of life to flow into the earth as rivers of living water flow from our innermost being. That's our individual responsibility. But corporately, we need benches operating in unity, in connection, those arcs of agreement where we jointly administrate our authority over the spheres that a blueprint or mandate defines to bless. It's always to bless. It's always to release God's blessing. We administrate judicially from a higher position of authority than that we're seeking to deal with. So we have the first heaven, and these are old terms, and I just want to relate the old to the new terms. The first heaven, the earthly realm. The third heaven, God's realm. And in the middle, second heaven, spiritual realm. Now that's ultimately what I was taught. That was what I was brought up with. But of course, when I went into the realms of heaven, I realized that it was much more complex than that. This is a simplified understanding of it, and that there are multiple realms in the realms of heaven and in the atmosphere. So the atmosphere at the moment is like a kingdom in darkness. And that's because what's operating there is operating in darkness, and there is not light. Most of the atmosphere is not really functioning in light because we've not dealt with it. So the kingdom is at hand. It's as close to me as the air that I breathe. It's a statement I heard Ian Clayton mention lots of different times. And it's a reality that God's kingdom is so close to me, I just have to step into it and engage it. So we have man, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness. Now, as believers, we want to function in the kingdom of light. We are supposed to be the light of the world, and therefore we're supposed to bring the light of heaven to shine in the world. Arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. People should be coming to that light, but are we demonstrating that light? People who are not believers are inherently turning into the kingdom of darkness because they know of no revelation and they're blinded to the reality of the kingdom of light. So they're influenced by the kingdom of darkness, and therefore they on the earth form an agreement with the atmosphere so that the atmosphere continues to influence the culture and the moral and every other aspect of man on the earth. And therefore we're supposed to demonstrate by establishing embassies which are in the kingdom of light and demonstrating light, so that we put that city on a hill, position of authority, a mountain if you like, so that the world can see the reality of the light that we shine and turn from darkness to light and be transferred from the kingdom that's in darkness into the kingdom of God in that way. I have a choice. Everyone has a choice, but we're all influenced by something. And what we turn into and look at will influence this the most. So it's important that we're looking into the light, engaging that creative sense of who God is in light so that we can actually be a reflection of that light and then help others to make that choice also. But we have to make sure we're not being influenced by the darkness that may be operating over us. So you have three different realms here, the earth realm, the atmosphere of the earth, and the kingdom of God. That's a demonic bench of authority, three realms in agreement. Now, also, we can have a godly bench of authority functioning in the kingdom of God, the atmosphere of the earth, and the earthly realm. But we are going to have to deal with the fact that there is opposition within the realm of the kingdom of God, there's opposition in the atmosphere, and there's clearly opposition on the earth. So we must take our places in the kingdom of God, establish a connection between heaven and earth, and then deal with the atmosphere. So the spiritual atmosphere around the earth, there are thrones. Thrones are positions of authority which are on mountains. Therefore, there are mountains in those spiritual atmosphere which are spheres of governmental authority. So there are thrones. Those thrones have things sat on them. Principalities, powers, rulers. And they are called the spiritual host of wickedness because they're not good. And what they're doing is not coming from God's kingdom, but it's coming from the kingdom that's in darkness. We need to deal with those positions. So what are principalities, powers, and rulers? Now, there are spiritual warfare books that you can go and look at. There's lots of them. I'm not going to go into this in depth because I'm really not that interested in focusing and looking into it, but I'm just going to give you some background. The context often determines the meaning, as the Greek terms have both a spiritual and an earthly meaning. When you read the actual original and you see the words, those words can be used in many different capacities, and it's the context that give us that. When connected to the heavenly realms, then there's an indication these are spiritual authorities, powers, rulers, principalities. When connected to the earthly realm, they can purely mean government of the earth, government of a region, government of a city, the authority and the rulers, the magistrates of that city, that region. So it's clear that we need to understand the context. The words themselves don't give that. They're just neutral words that talk about areas of authority and power. The spiritual will always seek to influence the natural order, which is the unseen will look to influence the seen so that the seen will manifest the desires of the unseen realm. So what is a principality? A state ruled by a prince, which is obvious. So on earth, that could be like Monaco, which is Monte Carlo, Monaco. That's ruled by prince, which is a principality. That's a physical one. But there are also spiritually princes, if you like, ruling areas. So it's a smaller area of territory ruled by someone or something. This is not a huge, like the world, governed by the king. And we know the enemy was called the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere. So there's something in this that there are areas which are ruled by different dynamics that have a particular function in that area. This is neutral in itself. It's just an area that a territorial spirit rules over. And that's so important because we need to see the right spirits operating, the right angelic beings operating in cooperation with us, but we have to deal with where that isn't taking place right now. So what sort of spirit is the key? What angelic being, a fallen angel or an angel that was following God? Principality, arche in Greek, beginning, origin, in order, time, place, rank, therefore a preeminent position of authority. So the principality is the highest within the realm of the atmosphere of the earth. Highest role above the power and the rulers, but under kings, dragons, and giants, which operate in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:16. Let's remind ourselves of what these things are and for. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, principalities, that word arche, or authorities, which is a different word, all things have been created through him and for him. So these things were created good, and they were created with a purpose, and that purpose was to help Adam rule the earth and to establish the government of the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue and to rule. Adam gave that authority away, and that was where the atmosphere began to be populated by those things which were not going to help Adam, but had a different purpose. Romans 8:37. In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or things present, powers nor height, depth can separate us from the love of God. So here again, there's a sense where the love of God is greater than any principality, angelic being, or anything else, or power. Colossians 2:15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. This is through the power of the cross, and these rulers and authorities, again, could be linked to the rulers and authorities that were operating on earth, the warning that Jesus gave about the leaven of the Herod and the Pharisees and the political and the religious spirit, but also can have a connotation here. And I believe this is also talking about those rulers, authorities, principalities, powers, thrones operating there. Jesus has ultimate authority, and he has given it to us to exercise as co-heirs of the kingdom. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And that authority is still there. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, principalities, which is the same word, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So here you see the connection between what's going on the earth and what's going on in the atmosphere of the earth, because it therefore talks about a different type of spiritual force. And there are principalities and rulers and powers on earth, and there are principalities and powers in the heavens. And we need to make sure that we are operating in governmental authority to ensure the spiritual forces are not wicked, and we are operating in heavenly places to therefore deal with, both in the atmosphere and on the earth, those things which are in opposition to God's kingdom and God's will. And therefore, there is a struggle. Not a struggle as in I am going to wrestle, because it's often used, we wrestle not against. So we're not talking about people in a sense, but people can be influenced by, and therefore those people may be operating under the influence of the darkness that they live in. And therefore we need to take note of that, but we must be motivated in love in dealing with any of these things. Don't get angry against these things. Make sure that you have a loving attitude and you're wanting to bring blessing into everything to bring restoration of all things. Ephesians 3:10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church, or the ecclesia, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So there's something about what we're doing in demonstrating God's manifold wisdom, manifoldness, multifaceted dimension, so that those rulers, authorities, whether on earth or in the heavenly places, will see the full dimension of those who are arising and shining, the city on a hill, which is demonstrating heaven on earth. So we are to be the light of the world. We need to arise and shine and demonstrate the light of love. And this is so important when we're looking to deal with these issues. We're coming using the light of love. Principalities are above and direct and give delegated authority to powers. Powers or authorities, Greek exousia, power, authority, weight, especially moral authority, influence. Note, this is how that begins to outwork into the earth, through influence. Powers seek to influence those in the territory on earth that the principality rules over. Rulers is a person exercising government or dominion. Rulers, Greek archaeus, which is another word for used as translated magistrates. Rulers of darkness keep people in darkness spiritually, trap people to operate in darkness, direct the forces of darkness on earth, both spiritual and through people. So this is where they're looking to influence people to function by turning into that kingdom in darkness and come out of that darkness rather than the light of the truth of the revelation of God. So they want to keep people in darkness. They're wanting people to be covered in veils of darkness so they can't see the light and the truth. They want to put a cloak over our light so that the religious cloak stops us demonstrating light. So there are these things function. There is a hierarchy. They are directed. Therefore, there are demonic spirits on the earth which are under the influence of these rulers, and therefore they influence people and influence things on the earth. Principalities, direct powers, who direct rulers of darkness, in the atmosphere, each operates as a bench of three. And the three together operate as a bench of three. So there are three benches of three. So there are three principalities, a bench over an area. There are three powers over an area, and there are three rulers over an area. And therefore, they have a representative, the whole atmosphere is a bench of three functioning together. The purpose to control an area by influencing and enslaving it to do-it-yourself behaviors, false morality, to keep people from God's light and God's truth, and therefore have a negative, dark influence over the earth. Deep darkness covering the earth. That is their heart. We're here to bring light. The negative benches of three operate by using power in the unseen realms to oppose everything and everyone that is of God in the earth realm. In most places where the phrases appear, the context makes it clear that it refers to a vast array of evil and malicious spirits who make war against God's people. Now they try and draw us into a war, therefore not exercising our authority. Therefore we need to be aware of that so that we can function governmentally and know our authority and our position to do that. They make war and try and draw us into fighting with them, hence the term spiritual warfare. I would suggest that we don't think of engaging in war, but using our authority to legislate the victory already won. We need to know our position, which comes from knowing our identity, then we can use the authority. The kingdom of God realm is in the heavenlies. The spiritual atmosphere is around the earth. The earth realm is a dimensional realm also. These three realms operate as a bench of three. And this is the demonic bench of three, and it can also be the governing heavenly bench of three. Within the atmosphere, there are three levels that operate as a bench within each level, as we've said. When there are two in agreement, this produces an arc which manifests authority, which is why when you're dealing with three things, you have to deal with two of them. Otherwise, there will always be two left to produce an arc of agreement to open up a window to manifest. So we can't just deal with one. We must deal with two. When there's three in agreement, that manifests the authority to open a window for manifestation, a portal for that manifestation to outwork. When dealing with the earth, the atmosphere, and the heavenly realms, we must deal with two realms simultaneously to remove that agreement. Otherwise, we're not going to see this dealt with. Most of the times, we've only dealt with one thing at one time, and therefore we've never been successful in clearing the atmosphere or changing the earth because we've not functioned in the heavens to bring this agreement between heaven and earth. So the kingdom of God has courts, mountains, and thrones, the highest realm the enemy operates in. The enemy cannot operate beyond the realm of the kingdom of God. Dragons, giants, kings can operate as a bench within this realm. The demonic bench of the atmosphere are the principalities, powers, and rulers who operate as spiritual forces of wickedness to influence the culture of the earth negatively, to create culture within the affairs of the nations to keep people blinded from the light. People on the earth come into agreement by operating under the atmospheric culture and outwork the influences. The behavior empowers the atmosphere and the atmospheric joint bench of three by agreeing through actions. It's a vicious cycle or circle that keeps on going unless we break that circle and cycle by dealing with two of the three issues. So here in this diagram, we see within the realm of the kingdom of God, we have mountain thrones and dragons seek to usurp authority there. There is also mountains of authority beneath our mountain, which giants seek to operate in. And then there are everlasting doors which have kings, which seek to block us controlling the everlasting doors so they remain shut. So again, here is another bench of three that functions in this realm that we have to deal with. We have to deal with our own mountain, our corporate mountains, and then the spheres of authority we've been given, and look to then deal with the everlasting doors to take possession of them so that they can be lifted up, the King of Glory can come in. These seek to usurp our authority, the authority of our mountains, our spheres of government, through our agreement and our worship. Now, most people would think, I don't worship giants or dragons. I don't worship the enemy. But in reality, what God showed me is actually that's exactly what happens. And when we come into any agreement with those things through our worship, we effectively empower these things to continue to block and influence our authority and usurp our authority. So we have these dragons, giants, kings, and on the mountains, there are temples that are built. Each temple has two pillars. One is fear, and the other is something associated with fear to effectively remove our authority in that mountain. Now, when we looked at our mountains here as a ministry, as the ecclesia, as our blueprint, we found that there were pillars, like a temple, that were usurping authority because we had come into agreement. When you fear something, you are giving that authority and you are worshiping by trusting in the fear rather than trusting in God's provision or God's blessing or God's protection. Fear is giving the enemy worship, and everything else that we do to give the enemy worship enables him to establish that on our mountain and therefore influence. So within our sphere here, and we had our mountains for the ecclesia here, there were our health mountain, our freedom mountain, blessing, harmony mountain. Each of these had fear attached to it, plus how fear outworked. So within our freedom mountain, there was fear and pride, because pride keeps people operating in their own strength and therefore in bondage. There in the health mountain, fear and unforgiveness. So fear of sickness outworked through unforgiveness enabled the enemy to stop us living in health. So we need to identify if we have worshipped the enemy and have enabled the enemy to create a symbolic temple, if you like, on our mountain, which is usurping our authority and stopping us operating kingdom governmentally as a son of God. So seek God and ask him. That's the only thing we can do. Seek and ask him, I come into agreement with fear in any areas where I've been given authority within the realms of heaven, in my identity, in everything else. Have I done that? So within the realm of the kingdom of God, we have a Malachim, the heavenly angel that functions with our throne, who can help us identify where the dragons, the giants, and the kings have been operating. So again, kingdom of God, earth realms, agreement. Kings, priests, oracles, legislator, bringing heavenly agreement. So ultimately, if we function to as kings and priests, or royal priesthood in the realms of heaven, on our throne, dealing with those things that are may have usurped our authority, then on the earth we can operate as an oracle and a legislator. And therefore we are bringing the kingdom of God and the earth realms into agreement. And this is the key. We, as sons on our mountains, we establish benches corporately, and we function in lords to engage the everlasting doors. We can begin to take possession of the authority that we have been given and use it to effectively deal with the atmosphere. And therefore we bring our government into these areas within the realm of the kingdom of God. That's our first step. And as we do that, we must make sure that we're living from heaven in agreement as kings and priests, or royal priesthood, and as oracles and legislators of that agreement on the earth, so that we're not operating under the atmosphere that we may be living in a region of that principality. Therefore, that's why it's so important that we go through the process of transformation, allow God to search our hearts, go through that process where as living sacrifices, he is purifying and refining us, engaging the fire, engaging the temple, engaging the altars to ensure that we are operating out of heaven and not from under the atmosphere of the earth. So the spiritual atmosphere, here's the principalities, powers and rulers, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. But we want to see the correct principalities and powers and rulers, the angelic hosts, occupy those positions. So if to do that, we're not just going to pull those principalities and powers and rulers down. We're not going to bind them so they can't function. We have to deal with it judicially and with governmental authority, and we need to legislate, do court cases, get verdicts, get the authority, use the authority to clear the atmosphere and allow the angelic host that we're working with and cooperating with to take their rightful places. I don't believe that this is happening around the earth, mostly because people are not operating in the realm of the kingdom of God. So they're not seated on their thrones and have dealt with the dragons, giants and kings in that realm. Or they're not operating on earth without being influenced by the atmosphere that they're in. We need to have an agreement between heaven and earth. It's so important if we're going to deal with this. So here's the heavenly realms, the courts of strategy, the kingdom of God, the court of angels, mobile court, the atmosphere of the earth and the earth realm. So this is where the demonic bench of three seeks to have authority, an agreement between the dragons, the principalities, powers and rulers, and with people on earth. Now, some people are in direct agreement with that. They're operating in witchcraft. They're operating in occult power, Satanism and other things. But most people are passively influenced by that, is they just are influenced by the culture that they live in, and they're turned into the kingdom of darkness rather than turning into the kingdom of light. So again, let's see agreement between the kingdom of God and the earth realm. Then we can start to see that change. So the demonic bench of three, dragons, giants, kings, empower the demonic benches in the atmosphere, principalities, power, rulers, to influence the culture of the earth and the affairs of the nations and keep people in darkness. Our worship empowers the dragons. The cooperation of the earth empowers the legal rights of the atmosphere. Dragons and giants are symbolic representations of those spiritual forces that seek to usurp our authority. We give them legal rights to our words and actions. We worship them as idols that we set up in place of God through fear. Anything that we fear is an idol that we have trusted more than we trust God in his provision, his protection, and his love for us. Fear, insecurity, rejection are the idols that usurp our authority, as well as many others. As we engage our mountains and we're enthroned there with a crown, a new mantle, a scepter, an orb, we take our position of authority. That's a heavenly position with heavenly authority, lordship, legislating the mandates and laws that we're given, kingship, creating mandates and laws and legislating using that, sonship, engaging in the assemblies and councils of God and the strategies of heaven to outwork those strategies. We can begin to legislate wherever we are in this process. Start to legislate, start to look at what's going on. And we have a lot of help. We have access to the canopy of angels when we're seated on our throne that surround our throne as they surround the throne of God. If God is on the throne of our lives, if we're on the throne of heaven, then heaven manifests and we have all these different angelic realms to help us. And it's important ultimately to begin to discover and engage those angelic realms. And we'll do that in the next module and look at engaging each of those angelic realms to understand how they function, how they work with us, and how we can work with them in cooperation to begin to clear the atmosphere, to begin to deal with the authority issues that function so we can see an agreement between heaven and earth and the atmosphere cleared and the everlasting doors open. So we need to take the high ground, use the courts, remove the legal rights given through our fear and worship. We need to stop operating under the influence of the atmosphere again by using the courts, dealing with those atmospheric issues. And we form an arc of an agreement between heaven and earth, and that's around our blueprint. We need to make sure that we're operating from a heavenly strategy, a blueprint, a mandate, and not doing our own thing. So we have this agreement, priests and kings, the blueprint, Father, Son, and Spirit, shine their light onto that blueprint. That blueprint therefore forms a shadow in the earth, above the earth, and therefore we then engage that shadow and establish government on the earth. So then we're bringing the priestly, kingly, royal priesthood agreement in heavenlies. We're then agreeing on earth as an oracle, carrying that word, carrying that blueprint, and legislating that on the earth. Therefore, we have this in agreement between heaven and earth. Now, this is where then we will begin then to be able to deal with the atmosphere. But there are very few places on the earth that are operating in this. Having a heavenly blueprint, filling that shadow by having a foundational government of benches of three, whether that be in things we're doing, ecclesias, regions, nations, so that we can begin to legislate to deal with the atmosphere. Our struggle or our thing here is to deal with those rulers and powers, the world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in many places. We need to deal with them. But as I said, we need to have that agreement first before we're going to be able to. We need to engage and bring the light that brings the revelation of our authority to those rulers and authorities so they see what we're doing and they realize that their authority has come to an end. 1 Peter 5:21 says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. So he has an ultimate authority and he has released that to us, but we have not known how to use that authority correctly. And now this is why God is revealing this revelation to enable us to actually do this. Again, engaging with the angelic realm, engaging with the court system of heaven. As sons of God, we need to arise and take our places of higher authority and be enthroned. Deal with the dragons, giants, and kings. At the same time, we must establish a beachhead on the earth with a mandated blueprint and bring an arc of agreement between heaven and earth and not operate under the influence of the atmosphere. That in itself requires us to be aware of those influences and to ensure that we're not functioning and operating and empowering those influences through our own lives. So we have lords who are sitting on their mountains, accessing the courts within the realm of the kingdom of God, outworking God's service, performing his charge, working out his principles. We have a mandate, we have a scroll, we have a mountain, and we have areas that individually that we are functioning in, and there may be levels of that that we then cooperate with others to establish government within the atmosphere. But we have opposition we need to deal with in that battleground that we are therefore seeking to exercise the authority using the courts to deal with that and begin to change and be transformed. As we remove that, then the next role would be then to engage the everlasting doors so that we have possession of them and we are functioning with them. But if we open an everlasting door, we not deal with the atmosphere, then nothing much is going to come down onto the earth. It may come down through our open heaven, but that's a limited thing. We need to see that expand by clearing the atmosphere. We engage the God-appointed angelic beings assigned to the positions of principalities, powers, and rulers, and form a strategy and develop laws and legislation necessary to deal with that atmosphere. This is a medium, long-term thing. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. We work in cooperation to cleanse the atmosphere using the courts. We begin to administer the everlasting doors. This is establishing God's will, the kingdom on earth, as it's already been established in heaven. We continue to force the darkness out of the atmosphere and increase the extent of God's government. We extend our tent pegs and begin to expand our boundaries, taking more and more territory on earth in agreement with heaven, therefore having more authority to expand that open heaven to push the atmosphere out. So looking at it from this diagram, we have the earth sphere, we have the atmosphere of the earth, we have rulers, principalities, and powers in that atmosphere. We have the kingdom of God realm, we have the everlasting doors between those realms, and we have the mountains or the spheres of authority where we're seated in those realms, individually and corporately. So what happens? Well, we've got direct access into the realms of the kingdom of God, which we do not have to go through the atmosphere to engage. So we're directly, this heaven's open, the doors are open, the veil's torn, we can access. And we, when we access that, we're then in a position to then begin to then bring the government of heaven onto the earth without having to deal with the atmosphere at that point, because this is, we've got access in our lives. We're under heaven's government. We can live under an open heaven. We have our first love gate connected and rivers of living water flowing from us. So we're bringing heaven and earth into agreement. Now, as we do that, that's when we then begin to push out the principalities and powers and rulers. Eventually, until they are completely removed from our spheres. Then we begin to expand our earth sphere under the wider sphere to bring that full connection between heaven and earth. So it's like heaven is on earth, functioning on earth, and we're living in both realms, in dual realms at the same time, manifest in heaven on earth through our lives and in our corporate dimensions within embassies of heaven, ecclesias that have been raised up with heaven's blueprints to be operating on earth, to deal with the atmosphere and live from God's kingdom, authority and power. So then we just live in this dimension, and we will start to see that as we arise as sons, as we respond to the cry from the Father's heart to be unveiled and revealed, so we can release, he can release us into our full and glorious identity and inheritance as mature sons of God, the Elohim God-like ones. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to embrace that. So I want to encourage you again. We're just going to finish with an activation, and this activation is really designed for you to engage your mountains and to see if there are anything on those mountains or around those mountains, whether there are dragons around your mountain, which they can't sit on, but they can affect, and around your other mountains, whether there are giants and things which are temples, which are on our spheres of authority. I want us to give you the opportunity for God to show you, for Jesus to take you, show you, so that you can be aware of any spiritual dynamics that are taking place in your own lives. So again, I just encourage you to relax, to shift your focus onto that open heaven, and by taking the invitation to come up here to engage in that realm, if you're already in that realm, just begin to shift your focus to engage with Jesus. Jesus is always there waiting for us. So let's present ourselves to him as a high priest, as a living sacrifice to him. He is our high priest. Let's embrace engaging him, surrendering to him. Now, Jesus, I would ask that you would take each person to see all that they need to see in this season of their lives, to engage with their mountains, their thrones, to engage with the angels of their thrones and mountains, but to see if there are any dragons who are looking to influence and obstruct their authority on the mountain, to see if there are any temples that have been built on the mountains usurping authority. Jesus, I would just ask that you would show each person the atmosphere over the areas or spheres where you have given them authority. Just let Jesus take you. Let him lead you. Let him take you to that mountain. Let him show you what you need to see. Let him give you revelation and insight into anything of a spiritual dynamic that's operating in you, where you're influenced by the atmosphere that you're, and culture that you're in, and where your authority to be seated in the heavens has been removed, and those spheres are being negated by whatever is flying around or operating there. So just let him take you and show you the spiritual dynamics of your mountains, so you can engage and be aware of those things.